Amen. Okay, so now we are continuing our series on this very chilly December morning. Yo, not for nothing, but it is cold in Chicago, am I right? You know, it is so cold in Chicago that I heard that more than once somebody on our staff was on a couple of different threads where people are giving away their Chicago Bears tickets. And the Bears are doing really good, right? So, come on, Soldier Field is going to be cold, but not for nothing, but that's not, what kind of fan is that? Go to church and then go to the game and pray for the, cheer for the Bears. It's cold in this place. But is your heart warm today? My heart is so warm. I hope if you're watching online, come on, hallelujah. Our heart is warm because of the love of Jesus. And I'm really excited as we've been walking through this series. And again, if you haven't taken the time to read the first couple of chapters of the Gospels that record the accounts of the birth of the Savior, you really ought to do that. Because there's so much there. And last week, we spoke about Joseph's visitation. The series is titled The Visitation because there are five visitations. They were kind of like angelic announcements that declared what God was going to do when Jesus finally came to the earth. You have to realize that from the beginning of time, there were prophets that were raised up and said that the Messiah was coming. But then he finally came, and when he came, there were five great visitations. We're only covering four. We're not going to be talking about Zechariah's visitation of an angel, except just by mentioning it. But these visitations were vitally important to God's people, and they were not important just so that people could be introduced to Jesus. And I hope that as a child of God, do we have any children of the Most High God? Could I see your hands? Are you a child of God? I hope that the people of God are doing their part in this Christmas season in introducing Jesus, saying the Savior has come, the Savior has come, the Savior is here. But these stories are not just so that we could introduce people to Jesus. These stories are actually for us. They're to remind us, we mentioned this last week, they're to remind us and to revive us about the heart of God and the plan of God and the ways of God. And today's visitation is very, very special. Today's visitation is Mary's visitation. And when we think about Mary's visitation, this is a very famous visitation because the angel says to Mary, I'll read it to you in a moment, but he says, you're going to be made pregnant even though you're a virgin. Never before, never after will this happen. Even though you're a virgin, you're going to be made pregnant by the Spirit of the Most High God. You're going to conceive and you're going to give birth to the Son of God. And this is the way the Savior of the world is going to come to the earth. That is God's plan for your life. And so many times we look at this and we say, oh my goodness, what an incredible miracle, but that was just a one and only. But I've got news for you today. This passage of Scripture was more than just a one and only miracle. This passage of Scripture was actually a reminder to us that God, in the same way he gave Mary this plan and said, I have this great plan, this plan that surpasses your understanding, this plan that surpasses your capacity. I have this plan, but I'm going to fulfill the plan by the power of my Holy Spirit. And how many know that even though Mary's plan was unique, his plan for our lives is unique as well? In other words, she was called to do something great for God, but the Bible tells us, brothers and sisters, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible tells us that before the foundations of the earth, God, he had a plan on how he wanted to use us. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are his masterpiece. Did you know that you are God's masterpiece? And the Bible says he has created us for good works in advance. Anybody believe he's got a plan for your life? Hallelujah. Well, the same God who had a plan for Mary's life, he has a plan for our lives. And the same thing that he did for Mary, he's able to do for us here and now. Because Jesus is not just yesterday. How many believe Jesus is here and now?
Yes.
So I'm telling you right now, I want you to open up your heart to receive something great from God today. And it all begins, if you're watching online, wherever you are, it all begins with you taking in the fact that God is here and now. Okay, he's not just yesterday. He's here and he's now. He's ever-present God. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. So now let's learn from this very, very special visitation that took place. And I'm going to read for emphasis. And I believe this is going to really encourage you. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered, what kind of greeting this might be? But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Now, why did she find favor with God? She found favor with God because the Spirit of God was going to come inside of her. He was going to come and place a child inside of her, and then she would carry that child. Right now, that was the sign of being favored of God. When we become Christians, the Spirit of the Lord comes inside of us. Has anybody here been born again? If you've been born again, guess what? You are the favored of God. To have Christ in you, the hope of glory, means that you're favored. Doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done, right? If you have Jesus inside of your heart, you have been favored by God. Anybody believe that here today? So the same message to Mary is the message to us, but watch this. I mean, this is like amazing. He says, I'm going to jump now to the screen, and I want you to look very closely. Verse 31. Ready? He says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Hold it right there. Now, when God says something will happen, how many know he's promising that something is going to happen that he said is going to happen? This was a different kind of visitation. Because this was a visitation that was filled with the promise of God. God was saying, this will, that will, that will, that will happen. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. And his kingdom will never end. Now let's keep going a little bit more. Then she says, how will? Now I'm going to pause here to bring up Zechariah for a second. So Zechariah and Mary often, if we had like 7 weeks to talk about Christmas, this might be one of the things that we would talk about. So when the angel appears to Zechariah, Zechariah said, how can this be? I'm old. See, in other words, this is impossible. Mary didn't say this is impossible. You know what Mary said? Mary said, I know I can't do this, but since you're saying it, God, how will this be? Now, this is very, very important for the end of this message, because when we start to pray, we're not praying I can today. We're praying how will. Yes. You see? We're saying, how will this be, God? I don't know, but I know that all things are possible through Christ Jesus. Could somebody say amen? So Mary says, how will, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have in her 6 month. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her own old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For read this with me, this whole sentence here, ready? For no word from God will ever fail. One more time. For no word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. How many believe that? How many receive that? It will never fail. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant. And Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. So Mary's visitation was a visitation of promise. It was a promise that God said, it doesn't matter what I call you to do, because when I call you to do something, there's a built-in promise that I'm going to help you. And here's the promise. I will put my power upon your life. How many believe God still puts his power on the lives of his people? And even though you and I can't in the natural realm, it doesn't matter who we are and what our abilities are in the natural realm. What really matters is who we become when the power of God comes upon our lives. So God was saying, I'm going to put my power upon you. This visitation was a visitation of power. And can I tell you something? In the church, we have lost our faith in the power of God. And we set such low goals and such low standards for ourselves. And you know why we do that? Is because we forget what God has promised to do. So maybe somebody needs to be reminded of what God promised to do for us. Maybe someone needs to get in their spirit what God promised. Did God promise you something? Have you forgotten what God has promised you? Are you walking in light of the promise of God? Because there are great promises in the Word of God for all of our lives. And when God promises, the Bible says, no word from God will ever fail. Does somebody believe that here today? And guess what? Any word that he gives you, he promises to give you the power to also fulfill that word. In other words, God doesn't just speak a word of direction. He sends a word of power to carry out that direction. He doesn't just give a kingdom calling. He gives power to fulfill that calling. Practically speaking, before we pray, have you ever been given a responsibility that you, like, I just don't feel ready for this? It's big things, small things. You know, let's take someone who's going to be a mom for the first time. or going to be a dad for the first time. And you're like, oh, I don't know, my background and my upbringing, and there's all of these reasons why you're afraid. But what happens if you receive power? You will receive power by the power of the Holy Spirit. How many know we can be moms and dads? You know, maybe God is calling you to serve in a certain way, and you're like, I can't serve like that. I've never, you know, maybe he's saying, I want to give you a new job. You're like, I can't do that new job. But yes, you can if the power of God comes upon you. How many of you can do any job? Because the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But it's when the power of God comes upon us. He says, you will receive power. Now, what I want to do very quickly is prove my point. And then I'll give you two quick application points. But I need to prove my point that this visitation was not just a unique one-time miracle. This visitation was a revelation of the way God always planned to work on the earth. Okay? This is the way God always planned to work on the earth and through his people. So real quickly, let me throw this up for you. So this is the pattern of the promise of power. The Bible says the angel answered, how will this be? The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So that here is like, this is going to happen, so that will happen. Watch this. Now Jesus becomes a man. Jesus was born by the power of God into the world, but now Jesus becomes a man, and Jesus' ministry is going to start, but he does it in a certain way. Notice how Jesus' ministry began. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, Jesus was fully God already, but here's what the Bible shows us. He went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Jesus's ministry began by the Spirit of God coming on him. Right after that, he was taken into the desert and tempted by Satan, and even though Satan threw everything at him, he stood strong. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But let's take it even further. Now the disciples, Jesus rises from the dead, says on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Watch this. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father, everyone, promised. This is a visitation of promise. Promised. Which you have heard me speak about, and we know. How was the church born? The church was born by the Spirit of God coming down in power upon his people. This is a promise of power. God promises to send his Spirit of power and bring about great transformation. And here's what I want to pray today. If you're watching online, I'm praying that we would let God set the goal. I'm praying that we would let God decide what your story and my story is going to be like. Right? In other words, instead of living the life that I think, how about living the life that God wants? Right? Instead of saying, well, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and this is what I think I can do, and I have these skills. How about saying, God, you know what? This is the end of the year. I want to, Lord, if you wait, if you tarry, God, I want to go into next year. I want to end this year. I want to start this year. Lord, I want to be walking in what you have and in your way by your strength, not by my strength. How many want to live by the strength of the Most High God in these days? He already promised power. He promised power to his people. He said, you will receive power. The Spirit of God will overshadow you. So look, I want to pray right now. I have two quick application points. But I'm gonna open up my heart to you at this moment. You see, I really do believe Jesus is coming back soon. And I don't believe that you and I should wake up every day and think that our days are our own. I think that we should be thinking about living differently. I think that we should live with a certain kind of openness to the will of God in heaven. Instead of just saying, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. I think we should pray it, and I think that we should expect it. Right? So if I broke out into that prayer, so I mean, our Father who art in heaven, everybody would jump in and say it. You learned it in school or whatever. Just we know that. You know it, but do you mean it today? Do you believe it today? And let me just say this before I pray. Okay? So we had our staff party on Thursday. And it was so much fun, and people were acting crazy. But, you know, anytime I go to a party, I'm partially wallflower. So I was just watching them, and I was taking in, and I was looking around. And I want to encourage you by this, even before we go into this, right? So I could take different people on our staff. I could take, let's say, a marriage, that if you looked at this marriage 10 years ago, and you put this marriage in front of 100 professional counselors, all of them would say, this marriage will never make it. But you know what? Not only have they made it, but they're serving God and working for God and bringing glory to God. Come on, somebody say amen. You know why? Because of the power of God. I can tell you people who used to come to this church and be high on drugs. Imagine sitting in church high. And by the way, if you're sitting in church high, you came to the right place, because we have one who has great power to deliver you and lift you even higher in the best way, in the most glorious way. And now they are an amazing spirit-filled minister. We have people who are on our staff that grew up, and because of things that were going on in their head, like all of this identity confusion and all of that, and today they have a family, and they are a parent, and they're bringing glory to God. You know why? Because all things are possible through the power of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I want you to know this. Anybody who stands up here, nobody has a cape. No Superman. God doesn't use Superman. There was only one Superman, and his name was Jesus. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Everybody else, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Fallen natures. We're just made of clay. But what happens when the power of God comes upon a person's life? So as we go to pray right now, come on, lift your hands. I want you to pray about God's possibilities for your life if the power of God comes upon it. So God, we lift up our hands to you. We lift up our hearts to you, and we say, have your way. God, it doesn't matter where we live. It doesn't matter where we've been. It doesn't matter what we've done, oh God. It doesn't even matter what we've done for you, God. You have even greater things, oh God. So God, I pray this for the new believer. I pray this for the old believer. God, we want your power, Lord Jesus. Chicago needs power, Lord God. You are able to bring transformation in our neighborhood and in many other neighborhoods. In schools, oh God. Lord, in office building. But we need power. So God, we open up our hearts to you. Lord, what could our marriages be if you send your power? What could our walk with you be like if you send your power? God, send your power. You promise power. We pray for the receiving of the promise of power. Online, in this room, we trust you to do it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's clap to Jesus. Hallelujah. He's a God of power. The promise of the Father was a promise of power. So what I want to do right now is I want to highlight why he puts his power upon our lives. Because remember, so let's take some broken marriage here today. In the mind of God, you could be the next ministers to be leading a ministry, to be going someplace, to be doing something incredible for the glory of God. Why? Because all things are possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? And so God puts his power upon us first and foremost for purpose. Everybody say purpose. He puts his power because we must live with God's purpose driving us. In other words, purpose is the fire, just in an earthly way, purpose is the fire inside of people on the earth who are productive. So you see people really successful and really productive. Guess what? They wake up in the morning with real purpose, you know, and they do things and they do great things and they get on the news or whatever because they wake up and they live with purpose. Purpose is like a fire inside of them. But here's what you and I need to understand, right? So earthly purpose requires earthly fire, but heavenly purpose requires heavenly fire. And God says, I will put my heavenly fire upon you when you give in to my heavenly purpose for you. And God is able to put his heavenly purpose upon us if we open ourselves up. How many know God has a purpose? Somebody say, he has a purpose for me. And some of you didn't say it. I saw you, bro. I saw you. Right? Why? Why are you not saying, no, God has a plan for my life? You know why? Because you've given into the spirit of unbelief. It's because you've set a low standard. But the Bible wants you to lift your eyes up to the throne of glory today. He wants you to recognize that he created you with a purpose. And that purpose is able to be achieved regardless of what's going on this planet. Look, this right after service, right at the altar time, I was praying for people, and then I prayed over a young lady in our church who is about 16 years old. I think she's 16, maybe 17. So she's the daughter of, you know, one of the families in our church. And you know what? She's a different kind of teenager. She's the kind of teenager that is living with purpose and believes in the power of God. And so God spoke to her, and one day she said, I want to start a Christian group at my high school. In Chicago? Yeah, in Chicago. You mean in Chicago where everything on the news is so negative and dirty and ugly and bad? Yes, right in that city. Right? Because the Bible says where sin did abound, grace did even more abound. Amen. You know? So she's a teenager. She doesn't have a Bible degree. You know, she didn't graduate from seminary, but she started. And she's preparing and believing, and she's preaching messages, and people are starting to come. And so anyway, they sent me a picture of their Christmas gathering. Look at this Christmas gathering. This is at Whitney Young High School. That's her right in the middle. Come on, let's praise God. Hallelujah. Right there. Right there. Do you see a cape on her? No cape, just someone with faith that says, God, I have a, you have a plan for my life. You can use me, oh Lord. So guess what? That picture can be in your office building, right? This picture could be wherever we are in our neighborhood. You know why? Because when we surrender to the purpose of God, he puts his power upon our lives. And then amazing things start to happen. Come on, let's praise God one more time for this young lady. You see, God's purpose becomes this fire inside of you that all of a sudden, even though in the past you were shy or you felt like, I can't do this or I can't do that, all of a sudden there's this I can do in your spirit. You realize that the night that Jesus was arrested, all of the disciples ran. You see? But then they were different when the power of the Most High came upon them. And it's as simple as us believing God and saying, God, and I just want you to know, we prayed this before, and I'm praying this again. Like, whatever God has done with my life, whatever he's done with my life, I'm like, Lord, I am not satisfied. I want to see you do more. And I'm telling you right now, God's plan for this church, it's for all churches, but God's plan for this church is that his spirit would wake up people who are living just like men's of men's kinds alive, and that we would get on fire for God. How many believe he can set us on fire afresh and anew? Come on, somebody say amen. They can send me a keyboard player. And you know what the big thing is? He promised. He promised. He promised to put his power upon our lives and to transform us and to use us for his glory. But it all begins with the fact that God has a specific purpose. And I do believe that we forget. So look at this verse real quick as we, if they get some keyboard player, look at this verse. Watch this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be. Everybody say, you will be. So look at what God is saying about us, because this is a promise to us. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. Now, no one can be a witness in the context of somebody else's life. You can only be a witness in the context of your own life. So God wants to make all of us witnesses wherever we go, wherever we live. But here's the thing. He's not saying it's your strength. It's my power. And when my power comes, you will be, I promise. He promises to send his power. And all of a sudden, we're not living in the natural anymore. Go on, have you ever had God visit you and all of a sudden, you're just, if you're a Christian, you have to have one day, right? It's one day, at least one day, where you are living differently. Anybody recall those different days? Come on, just let's have a moment of, just, let me see your hands, right? Everybody know, one day where it wasn't some kind of head knowledge. That somehow God got a hold of your heart and you were yielded and surrendered. You were like clay. And you were like, I don't care what people think. I want to do God's will. You know what? I'm going to talk to that person today, or I'm going to pray for that person, or I'm going to give. You know, I'm going to be different. Why? Because the power of God comes upon you, and then you start to fulfill your purpose. So he gives us power, but remember, it's not just so our life could be good. He gives us power so that we could serve others and so that we could be a blessing wherever we go. That's God's purpose. But then here's the second thing, very, very important. And you know, I failed to say this, but I want to say this because I want to use a real-time illustration. So, I'm in school and I've been studying different. One of my classes that I'm taking, it covers like social justice and all this kind of stuff. And so I've read all sorts of things. And I actually came across the story of Harriet Tubman this past year. And you really ought to read her story. There's some great books about it. So here's the thing about Harriet Tubman. So she was a slave and she got free. But when she got free, the way she got free is that the Lord really led her. She had a real walk with God. And when she got free, listen closely, she said, I'm not satisfied with being freed myself. I'm not satisfied with being blessed myself. There's no way that I could be free and I could not help other people get free. So guess what? She started to go back and put herself in danger, but because of the power of God, history records that there were moments that she would even kind of fall out. God's power would hit her. She would fall out, and then she would wake up, and she would say, I was going to go this way, but the Holy Spirit said to go that way, and she just kept. How many know the devil? God knows where the devil is. He knows what the devil is doing. He can lead you around it so that you can fulfill your purpose. And so he led her and he would guide her. And so many people were set free in this very dark, ugly world. He has a purpose for you. And how does it happen? The Holy Spirit will show you the way so that your life could really count. So there's purpose, but then here's the second thing. This is the second reason why he puts his power. He puts his power on us so that we could push. Everybody say push. So that we could push all the way through. You see? It's like you talk about a context about something like this in a room like this, and I'll be honest with you. You tell me if I'm close. Right? There is so much of a quitting spirit in our culture that even Christians are quitting all the time. Quitting God's will, quitting marriage, quitting serving, quitting giving, quitting doing A, quitting doing the plan of God. You know why? Because all of a sudden it gets really, really hard. And because it gets really, really hard, instead of saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, give me more power to push through, we give in to demonic suggestion and we just quit. Brothers and sisters, we are called to fight the good fight of faith. We are called to run the race and finish that race. How many want to finish the race? There's power to finish the race. There's power to do it. Listen, it's not just how you start. It's how you finish. Somebody say amen. Amen. God can help you to finish. Amen. He can help you to finish. He can help you to get stronger and to do more. How many believe he can help us to finish? So the same people who ran from Jesus, those disciples, those, like imagine Peter calling down curses. I don't know Jesus. Imagine after 3 years with him, I don't know Jesus, calling down curses, using bad words and denying Christ. Once the power of God hit Peter, it never happened again. He went on and all of them finished the race and even offered their lives. You know why? Because when the power of God hits you, you will finish. How many know he's able? You will finish. God is able to put something inside of you that drives you to get out of your comfort zone, to get over your fears, to step past excuses. Can I talk to you like that today? Okay, how somebody say no more excuses. God has a plan for my life. I'm telling you right now, he has a plan for your life, but we can't give in to excuses, and we can't give in to like, oh, but you don't understand, you don't understand. God understands. He suffered everything. He carried everything, and he promised to lead us in triumph, and he promised to send his power so that we would be more than conquerors. You will be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And then here's the last thing, which is kind of spiritual. Like, but I think that this is really special. So, and I think that this is so, like, significant to your understanding. How did you worship today? Okay? You say, well, worship is cultural. No, it's not. Worship is not a cultural issue. Okay, so if some famous dignitary, some famous person, somebody you really thought highly of came here, you'd be like, right? I've watched it. I watch people with pro athletes, and it's like, come on. But that's another, we're getting off track here, but. How did you worship today? Were you in your head? Were you looking on your phone? Were you thinking about, you know, where you're going after church to eat? Like, come on, let's get to the Bible. Let's get to the message, you know? It's like, I'm going to Superdog today in Milwaukee, you know? Get a hot dog. So look at what the Bible says in Ephesians. Watch this for a second. It says, and God raised us up with Christ. And two words, say it with me, ready? Seated us with him in the heavenly realms. This is deep. In Christ Jesus. In order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So, guys, stand up for a second. This rule right here, just stand up for a second, right? So here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that when Jesus rose from the dead in power, he had a plan. He had a plan. Could you put that verse up for me one more time and I'm almost done? He had a plan that even though these people didn't know God, didn't care about God, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right? Is that your story? That's my story. We weren't looking for God. God came looking for us. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Right? You know, he might be looking for you right now. Right? He gave his life. He paid the price. So, but here's what God, the Bible says. The Bible says that when people accept Jesus, you know what the power of God does? The power of God raises them up. Raises them up. God wants to raise up, right? Ozzy and Alana, raise them up in the heavenly realms, right? So that when bills come, so that when challenges come, so how long you guys been married now? 6 years, wow. Yo, go to church. People get married a lot around here if you, okay, right? How many babies now? Two babies, and another one on the way. This fruitful house, right? Come on. But listen. He seated them in the heavenly realms so that when he wakes up in the morning, he's not thinking like a guy who just works on computers. He's thinking, I have to do something for God today. And if his boss is crummy, it doesn't matter because he's saying, wait a second, I'm looking at this from the high place. Are you looking at life from the high place? I've been seated in heavenly places. Do you realize when this brother is seated in heavenly places, then even though the devil's coming at him, even though people are discouraging him, even though there's negative struggles or he might lose his job, he says, even losing my job, all things work together for my good. And God, you're about to do something great and powerful and mighty. You know, one of the greatest things, you guys can sit down, and this is what I want to encourage you. Because Christy and I were, man, we were praying, and we were just blown away by this. You see, there's how we see it. But then there's living life when he's elevated you. You know, so maybe this is another way to open up the altar today. Have you been elevated by the power of God? Because you say, I don't know my purpose, but you know what? You'll know your purpose when the Spirit elevates you. When you start to understand the kingdom of God is as real as this thing, the kingdom of God is more real than this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers that attack against your marriage, that attack against your mind. It's the kingdom of darkness, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He can put power on you. You can walk in victory. You can walk in freedom. You can do the plan of God and the will of God. But it's when power comes. It's not by might, nor by power, the Bible says, but by, nor by human power, but by my Spirit, says the living God. Come on, let's stand to our feet.